Backseat Producers, episode 211, The Fighter.
Hey, this is Tony.
And this is Daryl.
And Jill.
And this is David.
And we're the Backseat Producers.
Tony, what are we talking about next week? Come on.
Next week, Reservoir Dogs. The
Let's
week after that.
I think you're dragging ass.
Misery.
I don't like it.
I am dragging ass, but I am not
Tony,
now.
Come on, please. I paid good money for this table.
I don't think anybody
you paid, too much.
Good money for this table. All right.
At least whatever you started cleaning it with has stopped making me itch.
Well, Julie cleaned it last week, and I was like, no, this is not going to stand, because Adam's going to have, like, hives. So she took the time.
Sleeves.
She took the time to re-wash it with just water.
Yeah,
afterward.
See, Julie's a goon. You know what? She's way out of your league, Tony. I'm going to tell her that next time I see her.
All right.
So next week, do we all get to have color names?
Sure.
Ooh. I call Mr. Pink. Eat it. What?
I don't even remember all the colors.
Dude, the only one you need to remember is Mr. Pink.
Mr. Pink, yeah.
All right.
Into it. The Fighter.
Best sports movie in a long while.
I'm going to disagree with that.
Okay.
I enjoyed The Wrestler more.
I don't see it as a sports movie.
It's not.
So.
Yeah.
The sports are ancillary to the story.
Yes.
Would you all say that it's Rocky for the 21st century or something more than that?
Rocky Having never seen any of the Rocky movies, Daryl, it would be difficult for me to make the comparison.
You haven't seen any
I
of
do
them?
Not like not Sylvester one? Stallone. No, none of them.
But how are you culturally literate?
How can you
not
how can
seen
you
any?
Say how can you say you don't like Sylvester Stallone without having seen that movie? Without
well, I've seen
him.
Other things Sylvester Stallone
That's
is in.
Such That's such a same thing.
Oh, come on, guys! We all remember Judge Dredd, do we not?
If that's what you're basing it on,
no,
you need to broaden your horizons.
Just saying,
need
and
to
cash.
See the, you see the original Rocky. When he
not
was still
even,
good.
Not even Kurt Russell could save Tango Cash. That's a tall order. Kurt Russell was like the Nicolas Cage of the 80s, even though Nicolas Cage was doing movies in the 80s.
That is true.
You're so cruel.
I'm still flabbergasted over here. You haven't even seen the first Rocky. I understand not seeing 2 or 3 or 4, but...
Well...
I don't like sports movies.
2... You kind of have to see 2.
Like, I've never seen Rudy. I've never seen...
Field of Dreams?
Raging Bull.
I've seen Field of Dreams. I haven't seen Raging Bull.
No, Deuce has been trying to get him to see Raging Bull for...
Well, now it's a thing. Now I can't watch it. It's just like Ghostbusters.
Oh, it's... I get Ghostbusters. I don't get Raging Bull. Raging Bull's really, really well done.
Oh, no, I want to. But it's just now I got this thing with Deuce and I can't. I'm honor bound not to see it. It's Deuce's fault. Is what it boils down to. I enjoyed this movie. There's something I don't like about it, but I don't know what it is.
The accents.
It's most likely the accents and something else.
Becca loves you.
I'm sorry, I'm just laughing. Sounds like Charlie Brown grown up.
That's because Tony can't figure out how to make this sound thing work. And
well, I know how to make the sound thing work, but I want to keep things in separate channels.
Well, my name's Tony. Separate channels. Yeah, there's something about this movie I don't like.
I think it's the accents.
Oh,
man.
I do hate the Northeast.
The accents are great. They are...
Well, they're really authentic.
They're really authentic.
I mean, that's what I like about it is it really... I mean, I grew up in the sister town. So Lawrence and Lowell were designed by the same two brothers. It's established as a mill town. And, I mean, I totally related to all those people. I mean, it's...
No doubt. They're not just characters. You could meet any of them walking down the street.
Absolutely. And I thought that the movie really captured, at that time, how desperate those towns were to have something good.
Just anything to hang their hats on.
Yeah,
because is it because everybody was sweaty all the time? Was that the problem?
They're poor. Well, the Irish in particular, when you're looking at the 80s and 90s, both Lawrence and Lowell went through, they're designed as mill towns with immigrant populations. So the Irish were one of the first established groups to come in. Well, in the 80s and 90s, those populations shifted. So Lawrence was predominantly Puerto Rican and Dominican, and Lowell has a huge population of Cambodians. So when the work all went south...
Right, when all the manufacturing started shutting down...
The predominantly white established folks really went through some hard
identity
times.
Problems there. Yeah. They felt like they're kind of really hemmed in.
You know, and it was that battle. I mean, and it really kind of played out in terms of the battle of this family and the character of Mickey, who's really kind of a pacifist, kind of, you know, I mean, he's secondary in this entire movie. He's just letting all this stuff happen around him, and it's kind of like a lot of the communities in with the economic downturn is they had all this stuff happening to them but didn't know how to fight their way out of it. And so
they were looking for a hero, something they could really identify with.
And it's big in those cultures. I mean, particularly with the Irish American cultures in the Northeast. I mean, I went to St. Patrick's. I was one of the few non-Irish kids to go. We still had to march in the Hibernian parades, and it's very family, and that tight-knit community is huge.
What's a Hibernian parade?
It's the St. Patrick's Day parade, but it's run by the Hibernians, ancient order of Irish.
Hibernia.
Yeah.
The Irish.
You know, but that cultural... Irish. I think the movie really did a nice job of kind of capturing that cultural community.
Catholic dryads.
So it was neat, and I liked the fact that... I thought the acting was superb. I thought it was neat to see. I can't stand Amy Adams. It's the first movie I actually
liked her.
What are
you talking about? She was great.
Oh, she was awesome in this, but it was the first time I actually liked her, that she wasn't just this kind of superficial character. Well, yeah, I'm not interested in looking at her, but that I actually saw her have talent in this movie. And Christian Bale is amazing. He took a character that you could vilify and turn him into a real human being. So, I liked
Christian Bale was the acting in this movie was pretty top notch. I mean, you expect it from Christian Bale, and Marky Mark is always pretty much fine. Like he's always okay.
He's always okay.
He's always solid.
He was okay, but that's all it really called for. His character wasn't the focal point of the movie, even though he was the fighter. Kind of.
Well, the title doesn't really refer to Marky Mark.
It doesn't, not at all.
Obviously, Tony.
Well, but if they really wanted it, they would have continued the movie later on to his epic fights, which were more pivotal than anything they profiled in this one.
Which, I've heard word that they're talking about a fighter 2.
Yeah,
I hope not. But
this is not a movie that needs a sequel.
No, it doesn't. It does not need a sequel.
Melissa Leo was awesome.
Yes, I knew people who were just exactly like Melissa Leo in Jersey. I mean, she had that down to a T.
Yeah.
Didn't she get a Best Supporting Actress nom for that?
She won.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Both her and Amy Adams were nominated.
Yeah.
When I heard Amy Adams
show more skin though, so.
When I heard Amy Adams was cast as Lois Lane in the new Superman movie, I was a little concerned.
This one? Like the one that came out? Or the new one?
The one that's coming
out. Man of Steel.
Yes. She was cast as Lois Lane in Man of Steel. And I was concerned because Lois has to be kind of tough.
Yeah, a little grittier.
Yeah. And everything she'd been in to this point that I'd seen her in was like, not.
Yeah. Saccharine is how I would describe most of her characters.
It worked really well for Enchanted. That That was necessary for Enchanted.
Listen, in Leap Year, she's a hard-ass bitch, all right?
I don't think I've seen that one.
Well, on Confessions of a Shopaholic, I mean, some of it's just...
Mm, yeah.
Stereotypes.
But seeing her in this role, it was like, all right, I allow you to be Lois Lane.
Yeah, I love the fact that she looked like she didn't have makeup on in a lot of the scenes. And
it was really noticeable that first scene when she was in the bar, just like cussing everybody out, and it was like, all right, this is a different Amy
Adams.
This
is workable.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty authentic, you know, for a beautiful woman to bartender in a working man's bar. She pretty much holds her own.
Yep.
And that's not an easy character to do.
Mm. The best is when she punches that sister in the face.
Yeah.
That was the best.
Well, that's what happens when you hang around your butt. Your boyfriend is a boxer.
All those sisters who are just at each other's throats until somebody from outside was against them, then they all just turned on her. Yep. That was amazing.
I have nine kids. Mm.
That whole family is sometimes a little too
nine tight. Nine of you kids and I love y'all.
That whole family was a little too tightly stitched together, though.
But I grew up with people like that. Mm-hmm. You know? No, I mean, so that was kind of...
That could either be very comforting or very aggravating all at the same time.
Absolutely.
And it kind of showed that. I mean, I think it was true to that.
Yeah. Well, there's this time you just love them to death, and other times you just love to kill them to death.
Well, even the mom, when they're talking about Mickey going with another promoter, and the one sister goes to defend her, and she's like, are you talking to me? How much do you owe me? Kind of thing. It was like, you know, you don't get a voice until we're equal. It was awesome. I liked it. I liked it as a period piece about that kind of culture and that community. And the idea of somebody who wants to do better, and that kind of internal struggle with having one foot in the homestead and one foot trying to flee,
and trying and each of them just grabbing onto you, just pulling you each ways.
Yeah, I mean it's a depressing area. I mean, and you know, and the drug scene is actually worse than what they even just described it as.
The best part is that documentary. He's like, they're making a documentary of me because I was a boxer. I knocked out. And they're like, no, we're doing this about your crack addiction. We told you this several times.
Yeah, I went and saw this movie with my brother, who has a rather unique perspective on that, since he has a bit of an addiction problem. And he said Christian Bale just nailed it as the crack addiction. He said they're exactly like that.
Well, and I like that.
I have an addiction to Star Crunch.
I like the fact that Mark Wahlberg was really concerned about keeping things authentic. I mean, Mark Wahlberg is from Southie, similar kind of, you know, environment there. Neighborhood, but wanting to be authentic. To the fact that he brought in the HBO cameraman who filmed the original documentary, who filmed the original fights, to make sure they used a beta camera to get the graininess of the lower quality. So I like that.
Yeah, they were, again, the director pulled no stops in trying to keep this thing as close as to a realistic, as a drama and as sort of a semi-documentary or biopic or whatever you want to call it, because these guys were interviewed on NPR a long while back while this movie was in the theaters, and they were pretty satisfied with it themselves. I mean, originally Dick Eklund was not very happy with it, but as he went along in the film, he sort of changed his mind on a lot of things and kind of came to a real conclusion that, yeah, they pretty much got the story down pretty good.
I loved at the end when they showed the clip of the two of them, and you watched Dick just being himself. And it was like,
yes,
okay, Christian Bale nailed it. And I liked that they waited till the end.
Yeah.
So that you see this grandiose character who is just, he just seems like this larger-than-life character, like he's something made for a movie. And then you see him, and that's just the way he is.
Yeah. Well, and Mickey, and the fact he's still can't get in a word in edgewise.
No.
You know, and just really kind of just satisfied with that, kind of used to it.
Mm-hmm.
I like that addition as well. It was a nice touch.
Yeah.
And Christian Bale actually got in trouble at the Oscars because of his pimping of Dickie's gym. He pimped it during the Oscars, like during his speech.
What trouble is there with that?
They shut him down.
Advertising.
You're advertising. Yeah, people can get up there and spout about their political causes all day long.
Yeah, especially, but you can't throw a plug out.
Especially, you know, if you're a political cause that is part of the community,
mm-hmm,
that is an accepted political cause within the community. But if you advertise,
yes, but God forbid you throw a shout out as a favor to somebody.
Well, as a favor to the guy that you played in, mm-hmm, the movie. I mean, that's,
oh, that's advertising.
Yeah, it was lame. It was dumb.
It's the Oscars.
Christian Bale doesn't strike me as the kind of guy who cares.
No, he didn't, and he kept going.
Yeah. Even if they find him. I don't mean, what authority would they have to find him? I'm going to take away your Oscar.
Okay.
I still won.
I'm Batman.
Yeah.
What are you going to do?
I'm Batman, yes. Speaking of, have you seen the new trailer? Full one?
Yeah.
Oh, man, Melina was hot pissed. Anne Hathaway's Catwoman. I'm like,
what?
Come on. It's gonna suck. And I'm like, remember when Batman Begins sucked? No. Remember when Dark Knight sucked? No. And I'm like, well, have a little faith.
I think it was hard for them to create a trailer without giving away anything.
I know, yeah.
And that was the thing. That's what I walked away from when I saw it this weekend was,
you know, there's nothing in the trailer.
Because it can't.
The only thing that I picked up from the trailer is that I think Joseph Gordon-Levitt is wearing the bat suit in the last scene. I do not think that's Christian Bale in the bat suit.
I didn't look at it that closely.
Well, I'm going to have to now.
Yeah. I don't think that's Christian Bale.
I'm staying away from all the trailers because I don't want anything surprised.
Yeah, I'd actually got...
Spoiler! Joseph Gordon-Levitt's in the movie. Ruined!
I had actually had a bit of what's in the trailer now spoiled for me because a guy I work with knows a guy who, like, is single, has a lot of disposable income, and, like, just goes and does things on a whim. He went out to Pittsburgh when they were filming the scenes in the stadium,
yeah,
where the ground was exploding, and he said he saw multiple takes of those scenes. And he's like, yeah, they were in the stadium, and this guy in this mask is there, and they were blowing up the turf. Well, that was part of the trailer. Yep.
But that's what I liked also about The Fighter, is the fact that they filmed so much of that movie in Massachusetts, in the actual gym, you know, and in terms of, I like the fact that you're making a movie about this kind of rundown, impoverished area.
But you're doing it there. But yeah,
it's the money. Run down impoverished area.
Yeah. You know, but you put your money back in.
But yeah, if you have people, you know, you have the production crews there, they're spending their money there.
This is a movie like, what was that other movie we watched? Or one of the comments we had about the movie was that everybody's ugly.
Wasn't it The Wrestler?
Maybe it was The Wrestler. But there's no beauty in this movie. Oh, other than Amy Adams. And even Amy Adams is rough.
We said that about The Name of the Rose.
Yeah, it was The Name of the Rose, but it was something more modern, too. Like, I keep going back to Gone Baby Gone, but I don't think it was that.
No, I don't think it was that. But that movie annoyed you with their accents, too.
Yeah, because Casey Affleck does not know how to talk.
He's from Southie. He knows how to talk.
Have you seen the movie?
Yeah.
I have a hard time understanding him and anybody from the Northeast.
Welcome to the club.
Both.
Hey, Tony.
So I guess you don't like British films then either, huh?
No, I watch British films with relish.
I mean, it's pickles.
Like a hot dog over here.
Who is Adam complaining about?
Casey Affleck.
Scott's is everyone.
Yeah, that's about right.
Son of a bitch.
They know you.
I'm going to take my ball and go home. All right, so what else about this movie? Christian Bale was awesome. Marky Mark was fine. Amy Adams was awesome.
Melissa Leo was awesome.
Yeah, she was amazing.
Who? Oh, yeah.
Mom.
Yeah.
Let's say, for a movie that had a troubled start, this managed to hit on all the cylinders and become a little sleeper hit.
What was the troubled start?
What was the troubled start?
Change of directors. Originally, multiple. It was started, yeah, multiple change of directors.
Brad Pitt dropped. He was supposed
Darren Aronofsky started out on it, then was replaced. Or he couldn't continue because he was tied up with another movie.
If Aronofsky would have done it, that would have been too much.
They asked Martin Scorsese to do it, but he declined because he said he didn't want to make another boxing movie.
Yeah, if Aronofsky did the Wrestler too,
right?
Right,
that would have been weird.
Didn't he get producer credit for it?
Yes, he got some because he started.
He's the one who got the current director.
Right. Well, he managed to get everything going and then had to leave because of constraints with another movie. But they still kept him on as a producer because of all his pre-planning work.
Yeah, it sounds like it went through a lot of script edits and changes.
Well, not only that, but they had to start from the book and rewrite it into a drama rather than just from a strict biography, which is no mean feat in itself.
So one of the things that struck me about this movie was that the fight scenes were not tedious. Like, I'm trying to think of another boxing movie I've seen where the fight scenes were tedious. And I can't remember what that movie was.
Right, they didn't go round by round. I mean, we could hit the highlights of it.
Nice abbreviated. And the last one was actually pretty tense with the... Like, they did some clever things with the music.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they dropped out most of the music and it was just beat. Like, just a steady beat that they were moving to. And that was a nice... tension builder.
Well, one thing I want to mention here is the soundtrack of this movie was killer. I mean, you can just take all these songs off of this thing and put them into a mixtape, and you'd have yourself a pretty good little workout.
Take the soundtrack of this movie and put them to car commercials.
Mm-hmm.
So pull it up and tell me I'm wrong.
Well, the opening title track, "The Fighter," "How Do You Like Me Now" by the Heavy, is pretty damn good. I mean. Go Google it up on YouTube and look at the one that's part of the official trailer, which is the full version with the cut scenes from the movie. And then a really weird take towards the end where they start inserting Rocky scenes. But, you know, somehow it works.
Oh, YouTubes.
I saw something that I was drawn into on YouTube. The 10-hour... Lord of the Rings loop of Legolas saying they're going to Isengard. Have you seen that? And they set it to music.
Tony, no.
It's
have you listened?
I got drawn in.
Have you listened to the background engine noise of the Enterprise on loop for 24 hours?
I have not. I heard about it. Yes. I heard you guys talking about that actually.
The engine idle sound.
It's soothing.
That's weird.
Yeah, it is. I don't know why it soothes me, but...
Because your mother probably drove you around when you were a child.
Put you to sleep.
Maybe.
Put your pumpkin seat thing on the
what are you dryer. Talking about?
On the dryer.
Yeah. What is going on?
She knows.
Tricks to get...
Babies to sleep.
Babies to sleep.
Put them on top of the dryer while it's running.
Yep.
Mm.
So it vibrates.
So the
white noise steady, generator.
Thump 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 of the spin cycle.
That just sounds awful.
Well, just set them in front of the washer and just let them enjoy the mysteries of the wash and the spin dry cycle.
Do you really don't like accents?
No. Well, I have no problem with accents. I have a problem with that accent.
Yeah.
I can't understand it. Like, I understand it a turns Hispanic his brain accent.
Off. It's, I understand it's a Spanish kind of funny accent, to watch.
British, French, German, even heavily accented English in those dialects, fine.
But not the South?
I don't even mind the South. And that's weird because I hate the South.
Jeez.
When we go to Atlanta, that's even a plus. Like, it's somewhat melodious, the Southern drawl. But
well, that's a different kind of draw. It is a draw more than a.
You have to get down deep in Alabama to hear the real southern accent come out.
That You can't say that they're different. That's
no.
They're
I'm
different.
Saying
I'm
it's like, a different. It's a different. It's
you're hearing the urbanized.
You're calling version. It South, but there are a lot of variants on that accent. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of variants on the New England accent. Yeah. From you know,
and I don't like most of them.
South Boston, you know, I mean, totally
even Meg
different.
And Josh don't have a terrible
Pittsburgh.
Accent. But
Pittsburgh
I,
has a very I, definitive.
I hate their accent. I can hear it. They don't have much of an accent, but I hear it, and it's like, ah.
Yeah, we had family in Pittsburgh. I know that accent very well. Plus, they also make up new words for things.
That's fine. I mean, who doesn't do that?
What's a jumbo?
Big soda?
It's a sandwich.
I can go with
bologna sandwich.
Fried or unfried?
No, it's just a sandwich.
Tony, I have a soft spot for fried bologna.
That's a St. Louis thing.
I gotta lie to you. I developed that on my own. My mom thinks it's weird.
That's a very St. Louis thing. My father-in-law used to eat fried bologna.
No, I mean, not like I developed it myself. I'm just saying. I didn't get that from my parents, I guess I should say, is more accurate. So, this movie.
It happened.
And I'm glad it did.
Me too. I liked it.
Yeah, aside from the accents, I didn't have a problem with it.
So, as long as you didn't listen to the dialogue, you're okay.
This subtitles movie, for him.
Yes.
This movie did not really require you to listen to the dialogue. It was emotive enough in a way that people were clearly... Like, I think you could watch this without any vocals and still get the entire gist of the story. You wouldn't get the specifics, but...
Oh, yes, I think you'd get the gist.
You'd miss out on that great scene where Dickie goes to Amy... I don't know, what's her name?
Amy. Charlene.
Charlene, that's right. Fucking Charlene.
Charlene.
He went to Charlene's house. And he keeps hitting the button. Fucking what? Dickie, fuck, fucking, fucking, fuck. What?
That was pretty funny.
That's a great scene.
Maybe not remove the vocals, but like white noise them so you can't understand any of what they're saying.
Well, but the banter with the sisters and the mom and Charlene.
Oh,
too.
Yeah, yeah.
Come
that's...
on.
That was a great...
That was
a great
first meeting
struggle.
Scene where they're all sitting there on one side of the room. You're like... Their eyes boring holes
you
in her
feel the
tension.
It was awesome.
That MTV girl, skank.
Well, in the line of them.
Yeah.
It's like a firing squad.
Firing squad.
You know,
panel of judges, and like they're all seen here. You skank, you.
Well, I think, you know. And there are parts too, like, you know, Mama needs her scotch.
I think Mama's had too many already.
Oh, I think so, yeah.
During pregnancy, no doubt.
When she's describing who the fathers are of each of the kids.
Oh, that was funny.
There was Dick, George. There was Dick, then there was George.
Yes.
So question comes from the chat room. Does
Dad looks at my ass, but he talks to me.
Does Adam hate New York accents too, or just New England?
The New York accent is... You don't hear it that often in TV shows or movies.
You don't watch much... Scorsese.
No, I mean,
Robert
but
Niro.
When was the last time
Brooklyn
Scorsese
accent's
got to
be the most distinctive in the world?
In a movie.
What?
I can tell you last time Scorsese did a New York accent in a movie, but Scorsese doesn't make that many movies.
No, not anymore, but some of the premier movies.
Like the last time he did it was Shutter Island, which was 2 years ago, and that is the only New York accent I think I can place in the last 2 years from a movie.
He just recently did Hugo.
Well, I didn't see Hugo.
I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah, but... But you're right, because there are a number of television shows set in New York.
That whitewash the accent,
yeah.
Like 30 Rock.
Yeah.
None of the people on 30 Rock have an accent, but they are all New York. Which is weird, because all of, well, like, I know Tina Fey lives in New York, so I would expect her to have one, but...
But she's not originally from New
York.
Yeah,
she's from the Mideast, or Middle...
I don't have a heavy accent.
Mideast.
Midwest.
I mean...
Better.
Closer. That's interesting. I didn't think of it that way. All right, so none of the actors there live there, then.
Well, and a lot of your language patterns are developed in your formative years, not adult patterns, so...
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, for television, it's more acceptable to have a Midwest accent than any of the coasts. What's a more generic, flat accent?
Well, it makes it more sellable overseas, too, because a lot of foreign listeners would have a hard time picking out the difference between a New Yorker and a Texan and... When I tend to throw them somewhat.
Texan, just give him a big hat.
Okay.
That's how you sell it overseas.
Big belt buckle.
Big hat, big belt buckle. New York, put him in a tie. Ties mean New York. West Coast, Make him gay.
That's only in San Francisco. Or Surfer, yeah, that's LA.
Yeah, so Surfer.
Suit, no tie.
Yeah.
That says California.
It's Miami.
That too. Look at that. Little bit of stubble.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. That never gets any longer. Nope. Ever.
No matter how long it goes on.
I enjoy a nice accent. Pip's accent's
yeah,
great.
Yeah, I say we all know about you and Pip.
I could listen to her talk for hours. Do nothing else. It's even better because she has an erotica podcast. So that. She doesn't do that anymore, though. So, that's disappointing.
I get not a whole lot else about this. It was a good, solid flick. It really was.
An enjoyable way to spend 2 hours, so.
Four, because I've seen it twice.
I will likely not watch this movie again. It's not the movie was bad, but...
Accents,
and I don't really like...
So did you ever figure out what you didn't like about it?
No. I don't really like sports movies, but this really wasn't a sports movie, so that wasn't it. The accents... We don't have to talk about the accents anymore. The acting was fine. The story was fine.
Did you just not empathize with the challenge the characters are going through?
So...
Which movie
Mickey's
did,
which challenge movie did you doesn't in, interest me at all.
Mickey's?
Yep.
Yeah, because Mickey wasn't... Mickey's
wasn't
challenge
the center
was
of the story.
I know, but they spend more time on him. The camera follows him more than it does Christian Bale.
Well, because for a... Good
long
part of the,
stretch he's in jail.
Yeah, for a big part of it he's in jail, so...
I'm just saying it's the less interesting of the two, but that has more screen time.
Well, and
I don't know.
Part of that, though, is because he's the catalyst for everybody to rise up.
Well, he's also the focal point of the conflict between Charlene and his...
The women.
Yeah, all the other women in the movie.
Right, yeah, like you said earlier that everything happens around him. He's not really... He doesn't really do anything. He doesn't really do anything. Like, everybody else is trying to... Everybody else has an agenda. And he is the tool by which they try and advance their agenda. But he doesn't actually do anything.
There was one scene in his movie that bugged me. Now that I think about it. What was the purpose of having his wife be a bitch and have the daughter watch Dickie in jail? That didn't seem to
because
serve
she,
any purpose.
Yeah, she escaped Lowell. She doesn't live in Lowell. She has her new married husband. She escaped that town. She doesn't want her daughter to ever be somebody from Lowell. So in order to really distance that, she needs to show them in a very vindictive way. Because Mickey hasn't escaped Lowell.
Right, well, yeah.
She's bettered herself. I mean, she could be living in Reading or wherever, but...
I mean, it just seemed like such a throwaway part of the story, though.
Not really.
His daughter in general was a throwaway part of the story.
Yeah.
She did not impact it in the slightest.
Other to establish motivation of why he wanted to be a better person.
And why he would go back. I mean, you could argue that that was one of the reasons he wanted to go back and keep fighting, is that it was the only way he was going to make money, get a bigger house, and get his daughter back.
Yep.
But he spent almost zero time... being motivated by
for that to be such a big motivation, it didn't. There was no follow up to that.
Yeah,
I didn't feel like there was.
They don't follow up on any. I mean, he didn't make seven figures until much later after that.
True. Which, I mean, maybe that's a better story for Fighter 2.
Well, I think that's what they're planning on doing is following up. But, I mean, I don't know that that was the point. I think the point was looking at somebody who's struggling to escape, but what he's running from is also his family, so you're kind of tied into that, but yet wanting to be better. And how does he do that while elevating everybody else? I mean,
he's trying to escape his fate that's being pushed on him.
Yep. By where he was born.
Yeah.
Yeah. And in the process, Dickie gets clean because he starts training in prison. He cleans up. He kind of makes amends. The mother finally gets a clue that she's biased towards the one and causing issues. It has no talent in
management of a boxer.
Well, yeah, but she finally realizes. One scene is like, I never meant it that way, and didn't really kind of connect the fact that she was distancing herself from Mickey because she was so desperate to try to keep Dickie safe. Mm-hmm. So you know that gets resolved. The conflict between Charlene and the family gets resolved. And Mickey finally accomplishes something that he's been wanting to do and steps out of his brother's shadow with his brother by himself, by his side. Yeah. So, I mean, I think there is the conflict and resolution. We don't need for him to leave Lowell because he really has already.
And it's not
transcended his location.
It's not that I needed to see him leave Lowell because that wasn't the point of the movie. That was never the goal. But his goal was to...
He's trying to assert himself that, you know, I can control my own destiny. I don't need everybody holding my hand constantly.
Or just have power in general. Right. Like, he finally realized he was being used.
Mm-hmm.
It's difficult because this is a story about a real person,
mm-hmm.
and not just a film. Because if this was just a film...
Call him up. Let's ask him.
What?
Let's ask him.
Ask him what?
Ask him what this movie was about. Let's ask Mickey what this movie was about.
Well, that's true. We probably could get him. We could probably get Dickie.
Hey.
That would be fun.
Explain this movie to us.
No. I think I'm bothered by the film and the way they treated his relationship to his daughter. But because he's a real person, they had to acknowledge it. If this was not a movie about a real person, that was unnecessary. Yeah. That character was wholly unnecessary for the story.
I think it goes into character development that wouldn't have been there.
It also establishes
him as not just this, you know, typical local Joe when it comes to his relationship with Charlene, with his interest in Charlene, that he has a daughter that he is involved with. I think it goes into showing a little bit more of his character. And I don't think you need much more than that. I mean, it was enough for me to kind of show motivation and just who he was.
I just wanted to... I would have wanted more from that if they were going to leave it in there.
More or none?
Yeah. I wasn't really satisfied with the amount there was.
Man, Mickey Ward does look like Marky Mark.
Yeah, there he is. Two of them.
Yeah, that's pretty good. That's not a bad casting.
Boy, are they little.
Yeah.
Well, a welterweight fighter is pretty small. Yeah, I mean, he's only 145 or so. It's not much big. He's actually slightly smaller than I am, height-wise. A heck of a lot lighter.
Oh, my name's Daryl. I'm losing weight. Yeah, well, you know what? My name's David. I'm gaining weight. So, booyah, I think I'm winning because bigger numbers are better. Always. That's what I thought.
Mm.
Well, and I think there's something to, you know, New England, and San Luis is a little bit like that with our Cardinals, but...
With who?
The Cardinals.
That in Boston and in that kind of general area, local sports heroes are, like, huge.
Mm-hmm.
St. Louis is a town that favors the individual above the team.
I incredibly do not want to talk about Albert Pujols.
I don't care about Albert Pujols.
But this is kind of natural. We tend to build up our heroes quite a bit and tend to idolize them, and then
they like their local boys.
They find
boys.
Out, yes.
I mean, in Boston, we like our local boys.
Oh yeah.
You know, and that's something and I haven't experienced anywhere else.
We always look for the St. Louis connection. Always.
Aaron Rodgers doesn't have a St. Louis connection, Tony.
No.
I am his St. Louis connection.
You are the St. Louis connection.
How many people have a naked tattoo of Aaron Rodgers on their chest above their heart, Daryl?
Mm-hmm.
His penis is my nipple. Hey, did I already do this bit here?
We talked about it before Daryl got here.
All right. I have a lot of bits that I've got written, so... Can't remember if I did this one at work or not.
Adam gets ink.
Are you going to email him now?
No, I'm kind of curious.
I already have a tattoo, Daryl. It's a metal slime from the original Dragon Warrior. Yeah. Guy at work the other day, honestly and legitimately asked me if I had ever played Dragon Warrior that was not a lead-in to see my tattoo.
Wow.
And I was like, this is a once-in-a-lifetime situation where I'm like, bam, look at that. He's like, whoa. I'm like, no, I've never played it. Hey, I got nothing else in this.
Mm-hmm. I'm curious what's going on over there.
I'm trying to find Rewards phone number.
I call him right
We're
now.
We call him.
Actually, he probably kicked my
411.
That's not a fight I want to get in.
No. Actually, one of my high school friends works in a... Well, she lives in Lowell, works in a library in Lowell. I bet I could get her to find it. Make your word, Lowell. Sherry, not... Charlene, and Alice.
Uh-oh.
We can get one of the sisters.
Oh, I don't want that.
We can get neat perspective there.
We're going to turn Jill into a stalker yet.
Yeah. Perspectives for a younger man, Daryl. I'm old and set in my ways now. I don't know where I'm going.
I crave the novelty.
Dude, I went to a client site, and I was using my client's iPad to demonstrate something like remote access for the software that they've got. The dude has porn links on his iPad, and I'm like, what?
Cool.
Like, I don't want to touch this thing now. Kidding?
Was it wrapped in plastic first?
On the iPad? Dude. It doesn't even have a flash player.
Touchpad.
It doesn't have a flash player. What port are you getting to? What do you... I mean, there's the appeal there, because you can't download malware.
Now you've ruined it for me.
So, I mean, there is a technical appeal there, but... Come on, man. Worked in Safari. Stop it.
I can never think of swipe in the same thing ever again.
So, that, like, I asked him, I'm like, hey, where is your... Because the guy has so many containers on his front page of the iPad, like, that fills up the entire... It's like a full 4x10 rows of the containers. And I'm like, where is Safari? Just give me to a web browser. So he pulls it up, and then, like... There's that moment where it pulls up, and I know he sees the link, and then so, like, I have to make that choice. I'm like, am I going to say something, or do I just pretend I don't see it? And that's what I went with, and I'm like, this is horrible. This feels terrible. Why am I in this situation? Why am I touching this iPad? This is gross. God. Biohazard.
Hey, it's a 21st century. You can deal with it.
Playboy has this TV show called The Stash, where it's like Tosh, or it's like a video clip making fun of, only it's with porn, right? And so they always have these fake commercials. Well, one of the fake commercials is it's the Mac and the PC, and they're scolding the audience for having to make them look at the nastiest porn. Windows machine has a nervous breakdown.
So that explains all the blue screens.
It's pretty funny.
All right.
Yeah, I got nothing here.
Next week, Reservoir Dogs.
Yes.
That will be the first episode.
You'll never be able to look at Stuck in the Middle of You again.
Release. But it will be the last recorded episode of 2011.
It will be the last recorded episode of 2011. This...
I just said that.
...will be the first episode released in 2011.
Tony, are you behind?
2012. You're a dick. You did that.
No. No. I've done a lot of
things. I am tired. Shut up.
Tony, you know the podcast has never missed a week.
I haven't missed this week yet. This week is not over yet.
It's a few more days to run.
Never. You know what our release percentage is? 100%. We were like Aaron Rodgers before he played the Chiefs.
Yeah, except anybody can take other people's podcasts and play them and say that you never missed an episode.
Yeah, well, why aren't you doing that? If anybody can do it, why aren't you doing
because
it?
Because this podcast has integrity.
What?
Yes.
This podcast is busy supporting the podcast for an episode.
What's going to be the next episode that we support you guys on? You got an episode for this week?
I have one for this week, but not for the next 2 weeks. They're like, we're not coming over on New Year's Day. Why? We get together at 2 in the afternoon.
Yeah, they'll be awake by then.
What are you doing at 2 in the afternoon on New Year's Eve? Or New Year's Day? Like, you partied the night before, but don't you normally go out on Saturday nights the night before?
Yeah, Luke's, oh, it's New Year's Day.
So you stay up to like 5 o'clock in the morning.
You're not staying up till 5?
Yeah.
What? I'm just waiting for you to steal Law of the Geek episodes for...
Their episodes are too...
informative?
Yeah. We do a personality show, Tony. So... you'll be able to hear it in this week's episode, where it's really funny and fun until we start talking about topic, and then it gets really boring. I'm buying a cut on the topic, just like banter.
Oh. Yeah, I liked how... So I was listening to the episode where you're talking about... I think it was this week's, where you're talking about Walking Dead. Yeah, we're not going to spoil anything.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then you just fucking lay out these terrible spoilers.
No. Like, first off, what is going on? I said we're not going to spoil anything, and then we talk spoiler-free for like 10 minutes, and then I'm like, oh, fuck this. We're spoiling it because I can't... I'm tired of talking around this.
And then you get to the point where we're like, oh, we're not going to spoil this one thing for Paul, even though you've spoiled so much around it. We're not going to spoil the last 5 minutes of season two. With everything else you've just spoiled, what difference does that make?
Yeah. I don't know. Listen, Tony, life is drawing a series of arbitrary lines in the sand.
And then connecting the dots.
And then, 2 years later, just crossing them. Because you forgot they were there, or...
It's like the day you're going to wake up and accidentally watch Ghostbusters.
Yeah, and then I'm going to be like, oh, damn it, son of a bitch. That, Raging Bull. I actually got a whole list of movies.
Princess Bride.
I've seen Princess Bride.
Lost in Translation.
No, I've seen Lost in Translation. It's just the worst movie ever made.
I don't want to watch it again.
Fucking Bill Murray. All right, I'm out of here.
He was good in Zombieland, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was.
He's great in Zombieland.
Because I hate that guy.
Jeez. That's how you really feel.
See you next week.
Thanks for coming.